Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Our subject today is wake up. Wake up. And our Bible text is from Romans chapter 13, verse 11 to 14. Here it says, "And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over, the day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime. Not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature." Amen.
Amen.
It's always nice if you are able to sleep longer in the morning when you don't have to rush like it is in holiday time. You can sleep longer. And because people have difficulty to get up sometimes, there are most alarm clocks, they give alarm more than once. Some wake up in the morning, they jump out of bed and they're already fully awake. And others have more difficulty to get up, to get out of bed, and it takes time for them to really wake up. But if you call fire, everybody will suddenly be awake. Nobody will sleep. So if you don't sleep enough also, you're liable to make mistakes, or you fall asleep when you shouldn't, like when you drive a car. So how do you know someone is sleeping or dead? If a man remains motionless in a lounge for 2 or 3 hours, you think that he's sleeping. But if he stays there 3 or 4 days, you say he has died, he's dead. So if Christians are not doing anything for Christ, they're sleeping. If he persists in this course of uselessness, it is fair to call him an unbeliever. He's not a Christian. So life will express itself, it says, by their fruit shall you be known. And the ability to sleep is not one of the fruits. Our Bible says, "And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than we first believed." To understand the time is essential. If you are told that tomorrow at 7 p.m. in Bern, a certain place, everybody who comes will get 1,000 francs, I'm sure you are there before 7 o'clock. So we have to understand the time. The timing is so important. Because if you go at 9 o'clock, you don't get the money. You have to be there in the precise time. So it's so important to know the time. Because the time of the rapture and second coming of Christ is very near. Paul wrote, "The hour has come. It's time to wake up from your sleep." Many Christians go to church every week, or they don't, and they think the world will turn around as it has always been. You had parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, great-great-great-grandparents, and you think that time will go on as ever. You have children, and you expect to have great-grandchildren, and great-great-great-children, and whatever. But as it has been, it will not be anymore. People think, as it has been, it will always be. But the Bible says something different. Why did Paul say, the hour has come, wake up from your sleep? Since Jesus ascended to heaven, all the believers and Christians, they expected him to come back. Since ascension, up to today, people have waited and hoped for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, preceded by the rapture. So when he said, the hour has come, he didn't refer to 60 minutes. He was not talking about the hour has come in 60 minutes, it's happening. But the night is nearly over. The day is very near. I'm going to bed sometimes very late. And when I go to bed, already I can see the sky is brightening up. I know the day has come, so I have to go to sleep fast. So, I can only say to you, wake up. Wake up. Be ready for the rapture. I have been speaking about the rapture so many times, but you have to wake up. It's truth. I'm not lying. So personally, I believe the rapture will take place next year. So beware. Does that shock you? I hope it does. If we understand the time, we understand worldly things are irrelevant. It's not important anymore. Things of the world will pass away. Enjoy them, the things you have, as long as you have, as you have. But beware that very soon the rapture will take place. What happens when the rapture takes place? Where are we going? We are going to heaven. Beautiful place. So the second thing we have to remember is that we have to be prepared spiritually. Spiritual preparedness. You cannot play your own Christian life with your own goals and with your own rules. God set the measures. And if one meter is 1 meter, you can believe it or not. You can say 1 meter is not 1 meter. 1 meter is only 50 centimeters. You can believe, you can talk against it, but the truth is 1 meter is 1 meter. And God had set the rules, and we cannot change these rules. Jesus told a parable of 12 virgins in Matthew 25. Matthew 25, verse 2 to 4, it says, five of them were foolish, and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. 10 virgins, all of them Christians, and they fell asleep. 5 took provisions with them and prepared themselves ahead of time. But the other 5, they didn't care about the time. They just lived into the day, come what may. And the hour has struck them. They didn't realize and know. And they didn't think about the time. So this is how it will be at the rapture. Some Christians will be taken away because they were prepared, meeting with Jesus in the air. Other Christians are not preparing themselves. They love the world. They love their sleep. They love their pleasures. They love their families. There's nothing wrong in loving family, but not above God. And they will be left. They will be left behind because they want to continue the life as it is now. They are not aware and not ready to meet Jesus in the air. somebody said, I don't want to go yet. I want to get married. I want to see my children graduating. I want to see them having children themselves. He's waiting for that. He said, no, I don't want the rapture to take place now. So when you have to make a choice, where do you want to be? Do you want to be with God in heaven? Or do you want to remain in this crooked world? Then you have to decide yourself, where would you like to be? I know where I would like to be. In heaven, with God. No more problems, no more bills to pay. Everything is just set for us. So we have to be prepared because the hour has come. It is time of war. It's a time of war because the enemy is wide awake. He's wide awake. He doesn't sleep. And while we sleep, the citadels of truth are being taken over. Our children are made captives by the enemy. At school, they are being taught the beliefs and the life of Satan. If you are a boy and you're going to school, maybe they tell you you're a girl. And if you're a girl, they tell you maybe you're a boy. So, what is happening in this world today? Be prepared. Do not be destroyed and things Christians are sleeping. I'm glad for my brother-in-law who was really standing up for the truth in this city. And the whole government was turned into an uproar because they didn't see what happened. And they are making sex changes with children and they don't even understand what is happening to them. And during this, Christians are sleeping. There is a grim story in which Satan said, where Satan has sent some of his minions from the bottomless pit into the world to cause a lot of harm in the world. On their return, one of them said, I got a whole group of Christians and I broke the ship and they all drowned. Satan said, you did no harm to them at all, said Satan, for they have gone straight to heaven. Another one had set fire to the property and destroyed everything, the whole wealth of belonging to Christians. And Satan said, you have not done any harm because they will become much more our enemies than before. Finally, one reported that he had succeeded in putting a whole group of Christians to sleep. These Christians to sleep. Then Satan smiled and the whole host of hell, they shouted and they were dancing around. The story tells us about the truth that nothing can do more harm to us than cause Christians to sleep. Sleeping Christians are no trouble to the devil. There are many Christians, they are deep asleep, maybe even dead. They say, I don't need a church, I can pray at home. Of course, every Christian I expect to pray at home and to read the Bible. But remember, at the home, there is also TV, lot of noise, children are running around. You cannot have in the presence of God. It's very difficult. And what about God? What about coming together? Jesus said, where two or three are coming together, there I'm in their midst. He didn't say, where one is coming to me, I'm in their midst. But where two or three are together, because the when two or three are coming together, the Spirit is much more at work. So what about God? Would you appeal to God and tell him, oh, I don't need to come into heaven. I can be on earth. I can be a good Christian here. What would your boss say if you say to your boss, oh, I can do the work at home. I don't need to come to the company. He would throw you out with his own hands. So it's no respect. And God must be respected. You must have honor unto him. He's not a jolly good fellow. He is God the Almighty, the of the whole universe. He has created everything there is. So understand that you don't have much time left. The rapture is just around the corner. Today we have many signs of the end time. Look around, but don't believe what you see and read in the media. Most of it is lied. While we studied the book of Revelation, I have told you all these things. One of the signs of the is the attempt to unite all religions. The Pope's attempt to unite all religion of the world. On 4th of February 2019, he signed the controversial Abu Dhabi document, which is actively forming the UN global policy. On his address on June 14th to the UN committee, failed to mention Jesus Christ. It's only a reference to God, whoever that God may be. It was a claim that peace was his dream for humanity. The Abu Dhabi Declaration proclaims that the diversity of religions was willed by God in his wisdom. What a sacrilege, what a blasphemy. Did you hear what I said? They actually said different religion was the will of God in his wisdom. The declaration starts like this. In the name of God, no mention of Jesus Christ, in the name of God and of everything stated thus far, Al-Azhar, Al-Sharif, and the Muslims of the East and the West, with the Catholics of Catholic Church in the East and in the West, we declare. And they made the declaration. The pluralism and the diversity of religions, of color, sex, race, language, are willed by God in his wisdom, through which he created human things. You see, it is God's wisdom to have men and women. It is God's wisdom that we have our culture. But what about religion? They say it was God's wisdom to have diversity of religions. To this end, by mutual cooperation, the Catholic Church and Al-Azhar announced and pledged to convey this document to authorities, influential leaders, persons of religion all over the world, appropriate regional and international organizations, organizations within civil society, religious institutions, and leading thinkers. They further pledged to make known the principle contained in this declaration at all regional, international levels, while requesting that these principles be translated into policies, decisions, legislative texts, course of study, and materials to be circulated. It should be in the constitutions of all these countries. It should be written in their laws that diversity of religion is God's will. Further, Al-Azhar and the Catholic Church asked that this document become the object of research and reflection in all schools, universities, and institute of formation thus helping to educate new generations to bring goodness and peace to others, and to be defenders everywhere of the rights of the oppressed and of the least of our brothers and sisters. They want to declare in the schools, they want to breed a new generation which says anything you believe, you can believe. This document is signed by His Holiness, he calls himself a Holiness, by His Holiness the Pope Francis and the Grand Imam of Al-Azhar, Ahmad Al-Tayyib. Where is Jesus mentioned? He alone can give peace. It says in Exodus chapter 23 verse 13, be careful to do everything I have said to you. Do not invoke the name of other gods. Do not let them be heard on your lips. Isn't that clear? Isn't that clear that it's only one God? And a man like Bob says, you can believe whatever you want. Every religion is right. Every so-called God is right. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 14, verse 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but by me. Only through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. The Bible declares in Revelation that at the end, during the 7 years of tribulation, there will be a world religion. All religions will be united into one religion. There are different end times signs. What you hear about different pandemics and climate change is all lies. It's lies. Climate change has always taken place. And the climate changes are due to the sunspots. And we have at the moment lots of sunspots. And that means the climate is changing. It's nothing to do. It's not man-made. It's been done by the elements of the universe. Now they are planning to impact the world. They want to put thousands of aeroplanes to go around the world, to put chemicals around the world so that the sun cannot shine on the earth and cannot warm it. But they have forgotten about the what will happen when this happens, when this is. In the year 536 after Christ, 536, there was a massive volcanic eruption somewhere in this world. It was so bad that for 18 months, the sun couldn't shine on the earth. What happened was crops didn't grow. People were dying of starvation. There were lots of pandemics happening. Within 4 years, 50 million people died. Now they're trying to do the same thing, artificial. They want to kill the people. Therefore, wake up. Wake up. We have no time. We have no time to wait. We are watchmen. We are watchmen placed on the wall to give people warning. Sleep is treason. Sleep is treason. For a private soldier to fall asleep in the midst of a battle is very bad. But for the sentinel on whom depends the safety of the army to sleep is on his post is criminal. And doubly criminal it is when we don't care about our loved ones. A Christian who is active in winning souls will never sleep. He's always active. His activity will keep him awake. Many of these good Christians are sound asleep. Many are not awake to winning souls, converting the heathen, building up the church. They come to the church on Sunday like people rubbing their eyes, trying to keep awake while the pastor is talking, and then to fall back on their pillows and sleep. The church is full of such excellent people who would be in a dormitory. A dormitory full of practices, purposes, is about as good as a cemetery. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14, it says, "Wherefore he says, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the deep, from the dead, and Christ shall shine upon thee." Awake, thou that sleepest. Then in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 5, it says, "He who gathers in summer is a wise son. He who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame." I would like, it would be no kindness if God would bless these sleeping Christians, because they're so sound asleep they don't even notice that God is blessing them. So what's the purpose of it? They wouldn't know it. Our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. When you became a Christian, and now the rapture is near. That means the rapture is very near. The whole verse talks about it. Jesus talked about it. The rapture, the second coming of Jesus, is going to start within months from now. I urge you to wake up and to understand the time. Jesus said to the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 16, verse 2 and 3, he replied, "When evening comes, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, today it will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the time." When we look today, we know the time is near. Wake up from your sleep. Wake up. The world will not continue as it was before. It's going to change. Since the COVID time, things have times, and we are rushing in the direction of the devilish time. Satan is trying to gain time because he knows that his time of the rapture is too short for him. The 7 years are too short. So he tries to start ahead of time. And after the 7 years, Jesus will come back. But before all this happens, the rapture will take place. The church will be taken up. Therefore, it's important that you are part of the church. Our opening verse said, "The night is near, the night is nearly over, the day is almost here." So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Paul clearly warns us that the time is near. Night is over, day is at hand. Therefore, live a decent life. Concentrate on God. Turn away from this world. It's all passing away. But turn to God. He's everlasting. Study what the Bible says about waking up. Study what the Bible says about the rapture and the second coming of Jesus Christ. I told you about these things when we spoke about the book of Revelation. When we spoke about end time, I told you all these things. I want you to study and to wake up. Wake up. Wake up and shine.
Amen.